This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 269. Today, AC and I are live from SP Fest Seattle, day number two. Recorded live, 23rd of August, 2018.
How's it going, man?
We're back.
We're back. We are back. How's it going?
Good. We're just talking technology is actually working today, and we're broadcasting live on Facebook, and things are good.
Yes, things are good. It's I didn't do anything to fix this with Facebook. We just tried this today. And it worked. It just magically worked.
Perfect.
Yeah, it works for me.
Perfect. Yeah, we tried to stream yesterday and we had a few technological issues where we weren't able to get the stream going. So apologies for that. But the video is up on Facebook. Go check it out. And we'll also post it as an episode audio-wise in the regular podcast feed for your phones and all that sort of stuff.
Yep, that'll be next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Okay, yeah. Tuesday. Perfect. This one will come out two Tuesdays from now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, it was a kind of a big day for you today.
Yeah.
You keynoted this morning.
Yeah, I did.
Kind of. I know that you were a little nervous about that yesterday. It was a different topic for you, but we'll get into all of that in a second.
Yeah. It was a little nervous is an understatement.
Yeah. Pucker factor 12, yeah, I believe is the terminology. But yeah, I think yesterday we did the show before we had we've done a bunch of sessions and things. So what have you been up to since then?
I see. So we did the show yesterday midday. I think I had a session yesterday afternoon. Yeah, I think I had one yesterday afternoon. I don't remember. Like I said, it's kind of a little bit of a blur.
Yeah.
So yeah. Conference weeks are always you get so run down. I'm curious about this. I'm going to ask you about this in a few minutes. But yeah, it was, I guess since then I did the keynote this morning and a keynote this morning. Dan Holm did one yesterday.
Yep.
And then I did a session, another breakout session, about an hour or so ago. But after this, I'm done. I'm done with the responsibilities.
Can relax.
Yeah. This has been a full week for me. Three workshops, one full day, two half days, two breakout sessions, two podcasts and a keynote and a partridge and a pear tree.
It's just the beginning for you too, right? You go to Norway or Europe somewhere.
I go to Norway straight from here, yeah. Leave tomorrow morning, fly to Norway to go teach SharePoint Framework to a client. So yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that, yeah.
Busy boy.
Love Norway.
Hey, but before we get stuck into the meat and potatoes, so the topic for today is your keynote topic.
Okay, yep,
We're going to walk through what you talked about, kind of what it means to us and means to you and the SharePoint community and things. It was entitled Continuous Collaboration.
Yep.
So kind of interesting take on things going on.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of news items I thought we could bang through first before we get stuck into that.
It's a great idea. Let's do that.
Okay. So the first one here that I've got is around speech services that are available in Azure. So there's been an update, August 2018 update, and there's a whole bunch of new updates to the Cognitive Services SDK for speech. So for example, if you're building a UWP app in Windows, it's got guidance on all that sort of stuff around SDKs. .NET Core is covered for Linux and things, Java, just REST-based calls, all that sort of stuff. We'll link to that in the show notes. But basically what it means is that if you're building different types of apps, you've got better access to the speech APIs that are available in Cognitive Services to go get started with that from all those different platforms. I've been doing a bunch of .NET Core work, as I mentioned yesterday, mm-hmm. and kind of nice to see some SDK improvements in that area. So nice work, Azure Cognitive Services team.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm looking at the link as well as you're talking about this. They've got quite good coverage here.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. It's a really hard problem, right? Because there's always sort of this matrix of languages and what APIs and what runtimes and all that sort of stuff. And trying to get coverage across all those is pretty hard.
Yeah, definitely.
In other news, just a reminder, for those of you who are interested in attending an Office 365 developer bootcamp, just a bit of a plug for Microsoft here, there's a whole bunch of bootcamps that are going on around the world over the next wee while. And you can go up, filter by your area of the world, and go see if they're up here. The first ones that we've got here, there's a couple going on in India, 1, 2, 3, in India, Australia, Peru, New Zealand, the US, Mexico, Australia, another one in India. There's a whole bunch going on around the world. And so if you're looking to get into Office 365 development, want to learn a bit more, really trying to get started, go see if there's a dev boot camp near you.
Yeah, it looks there most likely is, with there being 28 going worldwide. These are cool. They take a lot of the content they have up in the training content repository on Office Dev.
Yep.
And they take select modules from there and create like a whole day workshop kind of experience, mm-hmm. where it's a bit of presentation, a bit of a hands-on labs, and then some people are usually there to give you a hand with the stuff that's going on. So you get the other people in the community, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And then also being able to get hands-on experience with a topic. So I think they give you like a dev tenant to play with these. And
nice.
Yeah, it's a great free learning opportunity to do this stuff.
Yeah, especially if it's coming to a city near you, then easy to go to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Another quick plug for something Microsoft are up to. Each year they do a thing called the Office App Awards. And that round is open for the 2018 version of that. You can go nominate things up until the end of August. So August 31st, end of August 31st. The winners are going to be promoted on AppSource and get highlighted at Microsoft's Ignite conference. But there's kind of some interesting categories for the App Awards. There's overall best Office app, best user experience, most business value, best Office integration, and the people's choice.
Mm.
So these can be things that do things like add-ins for Office or SharePoint, using apps that use the Microsoft Graph, Microsoft Teams integrations. It really covers a whole lot of stuff, not just apps that you stick into Office client, right? It's really across the board. So go vote for your, make a submission for your the apps that you like that take advantage of those technologies, if you know them, and go see if you can get them a little bit of promotion.
Yeah, it looks like the only kind of limitation here, the only restrictions here, like you said, are that you've got to be, your nomination has to be in by August 31st. It can't be a old app. It's got to be one that was published or uploaded or updated after January the 1st of this year, of 2018. And they're going to announce all the stuff going on at Ignite. That's it's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool. They're going to say, so some of the judging criteria, things like how well it integrates and leverages the power and context of the Office platforms, like are you doing smart things with Office, enhancing business value through productivity, user experience, i.e. pizzazz.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole bunch of official rules, but nice to see them doing that again. It'll be interesting to see who wins this year.
Yeah, it will be. It will be interesting to see who wins this year. I wonder where they do this at Ignite. So they announce it at an event during Ignite. I wonder where they actually do it at Ignite.
I think they invite all of the finalists, and they do some sort of, at least in years gone by, they've invited all the finalists and they've done this sort of private event where they put on drinks and nibbles and talk about each app and all that sort of stuff, and then who the winners are. I'm not sure if it's a public thing
gotcha.
In terms of the actual event, but we might see something promoted.
Gotcha. That's cool. It's good to see they're doing it again.
Yeah.
It's a successful plan, our program.
Yeah. So, big day for you.
Big day. Yeah. You know what? Before we do that, though,
okay.
I do want to give a nice shout out to our sponsors.
Yes. Okay? Good point.
We normally go through and have a spot for them run their ads during the show, but during a live show, it does kind of awkward to kind of like play the recorded thing. So, we definitely want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to AffPoint, who is here at the conference. So, make sure you stop by their booth.
Yep.
To Nintex, who is also here. Go see their booth. And to Raygun as well.
Yep. Right.
So, big thanks to them for helping us put the show on, because it's not a trivial task to put this on, or a trivial cost, and so this makes a big difference to enable us to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so on to today's content, or today's topic, I should say.
Yeah.
Which is continuous collaboration.
Yeah.
So you've put a brand new talk together for you. I know you've been worrying about it over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
With anything new, there's always the unknown, right?
Yeah.
And what a way to trial run it in front of the whole conference.
Yeah, saying that I was nervous about it was might be one of the biggest understatements. I was thankfully this morning that there were no nerves, but I can tell you that yesterday afternoon, I was like just, and leading up until probably about late yesterday afternoon, I was like super anxious, and nervous is probably a good word, anxious is a good word, pucker factor is probably a good word. But yeah, it was fun though. You know, the topic was all about continuous collaboration with Microsoft on SharePoint. Whereas before, you know, we've only just been collaborating inside SharePoint. And this idea was, how does the community get together with Microsoft and do more collaboration to have build a better product?
A better relationship.
Yeah.
More collaborative relationship around SharePoint.
Yeah.
And how that's changed over time, right?
Yeah.
So you made a comment, I think right before the keynote this morning,
mm-hmm.
where you and I were talking and you said, I'm feeling good about it. And one thing that really positive came out about it, that you had to sort of look back over your career with SharePoint and really kind of reflect about where you'd been, what's changed over that time, and that you came away pretty positive from that sort of thought exercise.
Yeah, I really did. This didn't really hit me until probably sometime yesterday when I was running through and doing some of the... This didn't come together at the last minute. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I had the idea of what was going to go on for this for a bit, and it was more or less like the implementation, the bullet points, the nuts and bolts of what was going to be said. All of that was kind of pulled together, but the flow was always like, you know, you don't want to plan it out too much, and you don't want to...
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person, I don't like to build a presentation and rehearse it a whole bunch of times to make it feel like, you know, to get my timing just down, because I don't want to go up on stage and start doing a talk and feel like I'm on, like on rails, and it's got to go in a certain experience.
Trying to get a feel from the audience, and feel for what's going on, and
And so this was one of the first ones that I've rehearsed, and I think it's the first session I've rehearsed in 10 years. Mm. Maybe 10 years, maybe a little bit less, whatever, but it took forever. I rehearsed it, you know, one time last night, one time this morning, just to make sure that, because it was a very different kind of a talk than I normally do. And as I was doing it last night and kind of adding a couple things here and changing things here and throwing some stuff out, it occurred to me that, you know, in order to do this, this really has gone back to where I was thinking about starting my career, going all the way back, starting my career in the SharePoint space in 2003. And so you're looking back at what you've done over the last 15 years. And it's not so much, like, you know, just saying, you know, you're defined by just this one thing or that career, but it kind of got you a little nostalgic because, you know, what you do for work is, you know, it's a big part of your life.
Yeah.
And in this group, in this community we have, you know, there's a lot of people that you only get to see when you're at one of these conferences or you're one of these different events and or at a work event. And I don't see them, you and I don't get to see each other a whole lot outside of work experiences, right? We talk a lot, but we don't get to hang out a whole lot.
It's true.
And so it was really, you appreciate like how much of a significant part of your life it's been. And to see that it hasn't been like, you've not just been beating your head against a wall for 15 years. And it's been cool to be a part of this and to witness it go on. Just realize that, no, this is neat. We're actually part of something really special here. That this thing has grown organically. And no one really, I don't really think anybody really drove it to get to where it is today. It just kind of, this is how it came to be. And it's a cool place that this is how it's kind of what it's evolved into, where we've had a really good collaboration experience up to now that really has only been able to take hold in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that comment about looking back, because I often think like I'm one of those old grumpy dudes in that near the rafters in the Muppets, you know, the Waldorf and Statler or whatever their names are. I often think I'm like one of those people. And it is nice to sort of step back, kind of look at where things have been and gone, well, you're just grumpy because you've done it for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool what we've achieved, right? So I like that comment.
I agree with that too, because I empathize. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I've looked at it and I wondered sometimes when you come away from like one of those sessions that we can do like with a feedback session from some product guys and stuff, and you wonder like going, man, I wonder if I'm turning into that negative old guy.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, you know, am I too jaded? Am I just too irritated that I don't have the patience for this? But it's not so much that. It's more that it's just, you know, maybe you're tired. Maybe just you want to just cut through like the massaging and stuff around. You see somebody come up to you in one of your sessions and, you know, they're very positive. Like, it's so cool and everything. Like going, if you saw the sausage was made, it really isn't all that pretty. But it's, when you think about it, you're right. It's nice to know that it's like, you need to check your, I guess to me, I need to look at it and say, you need to check that attitude a little bit sometimes and make sure that, big picture, let's look at what you're doing. Let's look at what this has all turned into be and make sure this is that it has been worthwhile, that it has made a difference.
So if there were sort of 3 or 4 sections to your talk, how would you kind of summarize the keynote kind of end-to-end chapters, if you will?
Yeah. So I guess section one is getting over the nerves. No, section one was talking about kind of like getting started. When we all started to, like back in SharePoint 2003, when SharePoint really started to be adopted by a lot of companies. And we, as developers at least, we were looking to try and figure stuff out. And you know, you and I talked about this beforehand, and some of the things I said in the keynote actually came from our conversation that, you know, you had a really good comment a day or two ago to me about, like, you know, we were really just hacking away at it back in 2003. And it's really what we were doing. I mean, you don't think about it like that, but like, I was reverse engineering the Microsoft SharePoint DLL.
And
how does it work and what can we do and all that kind of jazz. So I guess that's one piece where you're kind of, you're figuring this stuff out on the fly and you're kind of poking your head up, looking around like, is anybody else doing this?
Yeah.
Or am I the only one that's doing this?
Yeah.
And then I guess the second piece was, it was really in like the SharePoint 2007 timeframe when we really saw that, you know, companies really started to adopt this and you saw a lot more of us doing that, but you also saw more of these conferences starting up like a SharePoint Fest, that where there were dedicated conferences to a specific topic. And we weren't kind of mixed in with like, you know, like a Build or an Ignite or something like that with all these other groups. And you can start to see people, we were kind of doing more birds of a feather thing. You know, maybe it was, we were looking for community. Maybe we were just looking to, you know, a self-help group and we were all kind of like, you know, get together.
Somebody
going,
to commiserate with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's where all the drinking kind of came in from this business, right? I guess the third one then is the phase when I think the big crux of it, and I got to thank you because, I mean, if you listen to the keynote, you made this comment about how when the life cycle shortened from 3 years down to much, much shorter, I think that was the pinnacle or the crux of it, or the turning point that really started to change things, that enabled the change to really happen, I should say.
Yeah.
It didn't change things, but it enabled the change. And I think that by doing that, that's where we were, Microsoft was in a position where they could start to listen to our feedback because they could act on it faster and we could start to understand where they were coming from a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then it really came down to where we are today, where they have not, now they understand how to work with the community. Now they're embracing it. They're putting more vehicles out there for us, like dev kitchens and the weekly and the bi-weekly calls and the monthly calls that we end up doing with them that are open to everybody. When I say we, I'm not talking about MVPs. I mean, those are open to anyone to jump on those calls and to interact with them and ask questions and to demo stuff and to submit code and to contribute with it. I know I look at this a lot from a dev point of view because I'm a dev, and so I see the dev world, but these things affect not just devs, but they affect all of us. They affect the any of the users that are using SharePoint, the IT pros and all that. So that's I think of the four different sections I probably did, that's probably what it is. The first of, you're first starting to realize that you're maybe not alone. The community, the second part was around 2007 to 2010 when I think that can, or really to 2013, when that time, all that community really started to gel and really, or I think...
It's like the tipping point.
It was the tipping point. Yeah. And the coolest part about it is that all of this happened organically.
Yeah.
No one drove this. Microsoft tried to kind of, you know, help it, or, you know, at times they tried to kind of steer it a bit. But this just happened. This just grew organically, and it was the people that were in. That's I guess, you know, that's one of the things that is so, it was so reflective last night about this, or yesterday afternoon about this, where you start to, you have more of an appreciation of what you've been in. The reason why it made an impression on me is that you got all these people that have been in this from the beginning. You and I have been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
We're still doing it. There's a lot of people that we're really close with. And the best way I can kind of sum it up is, we've been doing this a long time because we just give a damn.
Yep.
And, you know,
passionate about it.
Yeah, and you're giving so much back and everything. I mean, this show that we do and the conferences and everything like that, I mean, it takes up a lot of time and a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to be able to see that, you know, all these people do this, you've been around, so we can all get together and nobody goes crazy when we all get together. Just kind of look back and just hugs and everything, like going, it's like old war buddies and something like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that your point about product cycles changing was really kind of a thing that was a thread that was woven all through the talk, right? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of your session, you spoke about the long release cycles of the old and how it's obviously, you know, narrowed right up to releasing every few days even in some cases, right? Some teams. But I felt the correlation between the way Microsoft are building product and the release cycle of products, or the way the features come out, and how that's changed their interaction with the community has been really interesting to watch. Because there's an argument to be said, they could be doing all that fast release cycle stuff and not caring about what anybody has to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I mentioned to you in the run-up to this was, like, I felt like when I was working at Microsoft and we were in the long release cycle, it kind of sucked that you'd get feedback from people and you couldn't really act on it.
Yeah.
Whereas now, because they've made the leap into shorter release cycles, they're able to take that on board now and actually do something about it. They feel better about it. The community feels better about it. Everybody feels more engaged. Mm-hmm. It's more transparency about what's going on because you don't have to keep stuff secret for 3 years.
Yep.
All those kinds of things. And so I think it's really, just that correlation between product and community and that sort of better together story.
Yeah.
It's going quite well.
Well, and I think another thing that really benefits to it, I agree with everything you just said. And I think that another thing that really has a benefit to this whole situation and that helped make this so valuable in the last few years, when the cycle did slow down or shrink up and allow them, put us in a position where we could have that interaction, that collaboration, more of that collaboration. You know, that whole shortening of the product life cycle is not unique to SharePoint, right? It's not unique to Microsoft. That's kind of like the way the world is right now. You see Docker doing stuff like that. You see like the Node Foundation doing stuff like that.
All the open source projects.
All the open source projects do these quick releases like that. And I think Kubernetes and stuff that we've talked about as well, Azure's doing it as well. I think that just because that you have that short dev cycle doesn't mean that you're going to get that out of that community. Mm-hmm. But I think that what was helpful is that that community was there and they were ready and they were already passionate and they had not given up. That says quite a bit, I think, too, about this community, because they had been still doing that collaboration. They'd still been doing that, giving feedback to Microsoft and showing that they cared. for many, many years, not waiting for this to come around. But, you know, I think that when one of the things that took a while was that once this product life cycle did shorten down, which I guess you could say that was about 4 or 5 years ago in 2013, mm-hmm. when they said, you know, we're going to start building just for the cloud. That didn't just switch over right away and that collaboration started working a lot better.
No, it took a while.
It took a while for that. Yeah. And I think that a lot of it too was Microsoft was now in a position where they could work with the community and they could start to act on some of that feedback, but they didn't know how to interact with the community in that way.
Yeah, that wasn't a muscle memory that they had, right?
It wasn't. And the other thing too is that at least I can speak from my personal experiences, I didn't really trust them. I didn't trust them that they were really genuine about this. I'm like, oh, that's just more lip service,
Sure.
And that's where, to me, I don't think it really resonated with me until last year. And the examples I gave in the keynote from like my experience at the Dev Kitchen last year and from the Build conference seeing the results come out of that and then seeing more features coming out from the Dev Kitchen we were at last year that came out at Ignite. That's when it really started to resonate with me going, you know, I think they actually are paying attention here. I think they actually are really giving a damn. This is kind of working. This is actually working. It wasn't, and it took me until last year to do that. It was just more of a, you know, I've invested so much time into this. I've invested so much energy into this and so much of my life into this that I'm not just going to believe you. I mean, at this point, I need to see it. I want to
see action.
I want to see the action. And it's not that, you know, if you don't do that, I'm not going to be involved in this, but I wanted to see the results of this actually coming back. So I thought that's last year. That's where it was the big slap across the face to where I started paying more attention to what they were doing in certain areas and getting more involved.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So at one stage, you got me up on stage.
Yeah.
And you asked me to come up and answer a couple of questions about how I saw some of this from my perspective. And I thought it was interesting that the things we touched on or the things I touched on or the questions that you asked, one was about like what made the SharePoint community special.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that, but also how it impacts people building products for Office 365 and for SharePoint and things like that. And so, yeah, there's been these ripple effects, right? Microsoft slowly learned how to build products quicker and release them faster. Mm-hmm. It took them a while to get used to that and learn how to deal with releasing and building products in that way. Then that's kind of had the follow-on effect of being able to deal with community a bit more differently and including them. But then it's also had the ripple effect of companies that take a dependency on Microsoft's products and build their own products, it's also sort of rippled out to there as well. So it's, you know, it's taken a long time, but it's really touching all sort of four corners, if you will, of the ecosystem now.
Yeah, you said some really interesting things too. I mean, I asked you about what do you think is there something special about SharePoint that enables this kind of a community? That what's so special about it that it's not just about devs or whatever? I like what you said. It was all, you said something about, what would you say?
Yeah, well, so
I'll let you say it. I know what you said.
I just remember when I got asked a bunch of times at Microsoft by other groups that said, how do you make a community like that? And for anybody that's tried this in the past, you can't make it happen, right? It's got to happen organically if it's going to survive. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll be a flash in the pan. You can throw as much money as you want. It'll be like a bottomless pit. But it's really the community that makes it for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the keys to that, in SharePoint land at least, I think, is that it's not a product focused at devs or IT pros or at end users or at execs or administrators or anything like that, right? It's everybody's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in it for everybody.
Yep.
And when a community comes together like that, I couldn't talk to, you know, Joe Schmo about the intricacies of network design or something in an enterprise, right? But I can talk to them about some of the things that matter in SharePoint.
Right.
They've got that part of their job. I've got my part of my job.
Right.
But we've got that at the core.
Right.
It's kind of a common ground, if you will, between us that we can talk about. And so coming to events and conventions and expos and all that sort of stuff, you're walking around and you bump into people and you've always got that thing in common. And not many people can say that. Yeah. Not many products can say that, at least in my experience that I've seen.
I agree with you on that one. I think the other benefit to that whole thing too is that you have silos inside of this community, right? Not to say we all are separate from each other, but you know, you've got the clear people who are the IT pros, and you've got the business managers, and you've got the users, the information workers, and you've got the devs. You've got very distinct silos, and some people cross across multiple silos there. Personally, I mean, I guess selfishly, you could even say, is that I love the fact that we have that because, like me as a dev, I can completely ignore all those other pieces. I can focus on just what interests me or what makes my brain tick.
Yeah.
And that's more on the dev side and the creative side of that. Not the design side, but in the creative solutions and stuff like that. And you get something like you have an IT pro problem, you have a back and restore, you can refer that to someone else.
Yeah.
It's nice not having to stretch yourself thin off on a product and have to know all of these different things, but be able to know that I've got resources on other people that I can talk to about this.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe if you're not even part of the community, you at least know, I know there is a community where there are people that can do this, and I can ask one person and go like, oh, I can, and that might be one of the most valuable resources that I feel like I have, is that someone asked me like, going, hey, I need somebody to do this. I'm like, going, you want to talk to Joe, or you want to talk to John, or you want to talk to this. I mean, just, you can point to somebody within just a few minutes, right? It's so, you see that it comes up so often. That's really cool.
Yeah, and you make good friends that way too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Often, right? Like I had a deep and meaningful philosophical conversation with a friend yesterday in the expo floor when we had some time off. And I wouldn't have met this person if it weren't for this community.
Yeah.
We live in completely separate parts of the country. We have quite a lot in common, but we also have a lot that's not in common.
Yep.
And you make good friends through a decent community that way.
You do. You also sat down when we came out and you had you up to on the keynote stage. I asked you to give us some perspective, because on a perspective that I can't offer any insight into, which is about working as an ISV.
Yeah.
And how
this
collaboration stuff really affects ISVs.
Yeah, I guess in summary, for me, it's there's pros and cons of the old way and there's pros and cons of the new way, right?
Yep.
But net, I think we're in a much better place than we were. Some of the cons of how it used to be, you used to have to wait 3 years for new stuff to come out.
Yep.
You had very little ability to give feedback. But some of the pros were you could really plan and have a really rock solid plan ahead of time, because you knew a year in advance what was going to come out, and you could start planning for it and build a business around those plans and count on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a little different, right? You've got the pros of the new model are your feedback can be incorporated and you can ask for stuff. The cons are that it all happens really fast. You can't really plan as easily as you used to be able to.
Right.
And direction changes mean that if you build a business around just one particular thing, you could be seriously out of luck.
Yep, absolutely.
In some cases, right? So, but net, I think overall, we're in a much better spot. So long as you're cool with a bit more agility in your business, a bit more flexibility, and a bit more of coping with the unknown.
You know, it's funny you say that, because you're always going to have someone, you always run into people that talk about how they don't like the constant change, right? Or they don't like the fact that, oh, there's a new release of something else.
Oh, yeah.
Something else you end up having to learn.
Yep.
And it can get overwhelming. It can definitely get overwhelming. But I think that with the business that we're in, the technology business, and really I think you probably could argue this in most business settings anyway these days, with things being so online, so connected, so intertwined, global economy, I don't know if you have that attitude of just that I don't want to learn something new, and I don't like that. I don't like the agility. I don't like how things can be are so flexible these days. I mean, you kind of have a problem, right? Because it's like that's the benefit of this whole thing, and enables so much more stuff. I mean, there's a reason that we're picking. Now we're starting to sound like the old guys. Where
we are the old guys.
Well, we are the old guys. Yeah, that's true. We've been doing it for 15 years. We were in our 20s when we were doing this. We meet like in our 20s?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
late
20s. Oh, yeah.
I'll give you like a good example of the way I'll illustrate this is...
I didn't have kids when I started doing this.
Previously, we'd want to make a change to a product and we'd stick a button somewhere that wasn't there originally.
Yeah.
And all hell would break loose. People would freak out and be like, you can't just add a button there. You've got to tell us in advance because we've got to train people about where this new button is.
Yeah.
I can't imagine now that argument holding any water anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, it's the same thing. You talk to people, like same thing with end user training. So I'm in the training business.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what are you going to do? Like a end user training class or something like that. It's like, there's no way I would ever do it. Like, why not? It's like, because that you are constantly chasing those things. I mean, it's more like you could do like, it's more or less you have to train. It's like going to a developer, right? And what do you look for in you're going to hire a good developer? Are you looking for the technical skills? Yes, you can score that out. But what are you really looking for? I'm looking for the problem solver. I'm looking, are you resourceful? Do you know how to go research something? Do you know how to figure something out if you don't know what it is? I don't want to hire you just on what you know, but I want to hire you how you handle what you don't know, because I know you don't know something. I mean, there's tons of stuff like in SharePoint that you and I don't know. And there's stuff that I'm going to continue to not know, because I know I don't want to get involved in like the IT pro side and a bunch of other, even some of the dev stuff. Like, I have no clue. Have you done Teams dev? No, I haven't done any Teams dev. Can figure it out. I know where to go. I know where to go figure out or where to go find stuff associated
sure,
with it.
Sure, yeah.
So
interesting slight tangent here for a second. But I know I'm landing this on you without really thinking this through, so apologies in advance for that.
It should be fun. And so, we're live. This would be great.
You know, you spoke about that transition of how it used to be and how it is now and how things have changed and gone to this continuous collaboration model with Microsoft and how the community's evolved as part of that, part of the feedback cycle and things. So that's today. But where do you want to see it go? Where do you think it should go next? And where do you think we'll end up? If you did this talk in another year's time or 2 years' time.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's just a
sort
really
of throwing
good question.
It out there. Like,
honestly, I feel like we're on a snowball that's rolling downhill.
Yep.
So I think this is going to get even more. In the last year, what you've seen is this continuous collaboration thing. I think you've seen it get more entwined or richer bonds, stronger bonds. I think you're going to see even more of this. I think that, like, for example, I think, you know, the next place that I think that this could really work out well is with the Microsoft Teams group. Because I think that with so much of Teams really overlaps with so much of SharePoint.
Yep.
And the extensibility piece to it and everything is going to be so overlapped with SharePoint and Office that I think that you can really see stuff like that. So I think we'll see more of the same, maybe deeper ties, maybe more interaction with the product group. Because right now, this is still really only true inside the SharePoint space.
Yeah.
I would also hope to see Microsoft do more to maybe treat it as the product group right now. Like we talked about earlier, you know, it's extension, this continuous collaboration or the community went from being treated as an extension of the marketing group, an extension of support, mm-hmm. to now being more of an extension of the product group. I think I would like to see it more, if I could have a wish, to be it also an extension of like the engineering side. So maybe making, I don't want to say I'm saying let's take SharePoint open source, but having parts that we can go through and contribute more pieces to it to make it a little bit more extensible, a little bit more open. Because a lot of these things that they've given us, and this is the dev side of me talking, that a lot of the things they've given us in the SharePoint framework, they're nice, but it's like it's not a whole lot when you look at it. Right?
Sure.
It's enough, and it does kind of, you know, give us some of the things that we could do in like an add-in model and the solutions model.
But there's always room for improvement.
There's always room for more stuff. And it just kind of seems that, you know, they did a lot of stuff. They released a lot of stuff last year. And this year, we haven't seen them release nearly as much stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, as someone who's building a training class, like, I appreciate that. Right? But I wouldn't mind to see them, see that pace keep going. I don't know what the reason is. It's kind of slowing it down. But
I sort of get the feeling like we think everything's rosy.
Yeah.
Because we come from a place that wasn't as rosy.
Yeah.
But I sort of worry or think that we may have rose-tinted glasses on a little bit.
Yeah.
And that we're like, wow, this is amazing and it's really cool and it's kind of the be-all and end-all, but we're really not still properly there yet, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it happens in pockets, like dribs and drabs, far more than it ever used to, but it's not a...
You don't have the benefit of hindsight yet.
Yeah,
it's
right?
kind of like we can't see the future there.
And it's not the... I still don't think it's naturally the first thing everybody that's building the product thinks about as like thought number one. Like if they're thinking about building this water bottle, right? At the moment, I think they'd be like, well, I think it's going to be, you know, sort of, you know, this shape and it's going to have a cap on it and it's going to have a label and things. Oh, I should really go talk to some of the community about this, see if that's the sort of bottle they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the past, it was like, I'm absolutely building that bottle. By the way, here's the bottle I'm building. Have you got any feedback?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yep. And be like, ah, it's too late.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I haven't built the bottle yet. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
But in the future, I think it'd be like, huh, I'm thinking about building a bottle. What are the really important things to you about me building this bottle that I should be thinking when I formulate these plans? And even the really forward-thinking teams are still not quite at that point, right? They're like, you're coming for a dev kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's already stuff built.
Yeah.
And I'd still like to see it happen even earlier.
You know what? That's a really good point. And I think you're right. I think you're right that I think that a lot of teams don't think that way right now because we still have seen, I'm not going to name it, but we've still seen one or two features, you probably know what I'm talking about, recently that you look at and going like,
That's not quite the way I would have done it.
That's not the way, and not so much the way I would have done it, but I'm like, I'm not so sure that's the right approach.
Right.
And I think that this is, and what fears, the fear when I see that is more that, not so much that, hey, you're not doing it the way I would have done it, but it's more that, I'm afraid that's going to paint us into a corner and we're not going to be able to get out of this in a future, right? And so that's the part, now I know that we're, and I know that you know what I'm talking about, but I think that there's just some things that I would like to see that kind of come into play a little bit earlier. You know, this, that something you said when you were just talking about this, it triggered a thought. You know, one thing that occurred to me when I was doing this, coming up with this keynote, is that the one thing that, while it all kind of seems very clear right now, you know, the one thing that wasn't clear is, like, at the time, we had no idea we were in these different stages. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I never observed or got the feeling that we were, you know, we were at this phase where the community was starting to grow, or the community was big, and, oh, now we're looking for this part, and that, hey, the dev cycle's going down. You know what that's going to do? That's going to give us a better way to go through and collaborate with Microsoft. Like, no, that didn't occur to me. It's not that you saw it happen, like, going, now it makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Hey, well, good job on the keynote.
Thank you.
It was fascinating. I really enjoyed the topic and also the process you went through coming up with content and some of the points you made and things. So yeah, great job, well done, and I guess you're breathing a sigh of relief.
I am breathing a sigh of relief, and I got to thank you. I mean, you bounced a lot of ideas off with me before leading up to this, so you were a big help in doing this. I really appreciate it too.
You've also mentioned that for those who didn't see it, that you're going to blog about some of the same topics, things like that as well. So
yeah, I'm going to take the time to sit there and to write a couple posts about it. I want to make sure that, I want to talk to the conference and make sure that they're okay with me doing that. That I don't end up just like taking the keynote and then posting it somewhere else. I want to make sure. It didn't occur to me that I was like, yeah, I'm going to go through and just write all about it. And someone made a comment. I'm like, I want to make sure. You know what? That's a good point. I better make sure that they would be okay with something like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I don't know, but maybe it's something I'm just making up in my head that it's an issue. But I mean, yeah, I do want to write about it, because it's something that I want to get these thoughts out of my head. I want to get them down on paper before I forget about them too. So
fair enough.
Yeah,
we are getting on, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm the gray one. You know. Well, that's right. We established that this morning. Your gray hair is falling out.
Mine's all falling out. Yeah. Hey, awesome. Well, it's obviously great to have you in Seattle. Sorry about the smoke. But it's always good to catch up. Yep. And job well done, keynote.
Awesome. Thanks,
cheers,
man.
All right.
Another good show.
Next time.
Yep.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.